Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Harold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. On behalf of myself and the First Friday Board, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to our November 2021 program. Special thanks to our major underwriter and sponsor, the Ohio Catholic Federal Credit Union. Our special speaker for today is Archbishop Hoban High School principal and basketball coach T.K. Griffith. Please silence your cell phones so that we may all enjoy today's program. After the presentation, you will have an opportunity to write down questions for our speaker. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break, collect question cards, and then have a question-answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce Archbishop Hoban student Olivia Scott, who will offer our opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Most gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for bringing us together today. We are grateful for your presence, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us, and for the opportunity to share joyfully in this meal and time together. Guide our hearts and minds as we listen today. Allow us to be open to the possibilities and power that prayer, scripture, and poetry can have in our lives. We are blessed by the work of teachers, ministers, coaches, and all who help guide young people in the ways of Christ. We ask in a special way today for the intercession of all holy men and women from the Congregation of Holy Cross, especially St. Andre Passet and Blessed Basil Moreau. We ask all things this day through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Olivia. It's now my pleasure to introduce Archbishop Hoban President and First Friday Club Board Member Chris DeMauro, who will introduce our speaker.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is my great and humble pleasure to introduce a former teacher of mine. I'm an Archbishop Hoban graduate of the class of 1999, and in 10th grade, this particular gentleman piqued my love for the art of teaching, and in particular, the art of language arts. I am very blessed and very honored now to be called his colleague, and it's just been an incredible, amazing, and rewarding experience. Watch him lead our students and our faculty members in a post-COVID reintroduction of all things education. He is a craftsman, he is highly, highly talented, and most of all, he is the absolute model of integrity and dedication for our young folks. So without further ado, my great friend and colleague, T.K. Griffith.
You're not supposed to go up that way. I was trying to impress Chris with my athleticism there.
Didn't work.
I see there's nowhere to even put my speech up here. This is going to be interesting, folks. Thank you very much for that kind introduction, Chris. It's funny how time will give us some experiences that we never thought were coming, but to see Chris as the president of Archbishop Hoban right now, my boss, a former student, but the way that he is impacting the community, it's just really cool how life kind of comes full circle with that. So before I get started today, I wanted to introduce a few people that were very special to me who came today. I don't know if you were forced to come or if you chose to come or if you were just... I don't know if you were looking for a free lunch. In the back there, we have a Hoban table. Can you guys stand if you're a Hoban student? I just want to introduce these people. We have Elena Plaspole over there. Elena, raise your hand. Elena is a aspiring writer, and she and I are working on a book together. Don't be alarmed by this title. It's called Murder of Crows. This has nothing to do with Thomas Crow, okay? who was kind of like a stud muffin type of guy last year. He's at Notre Dame, sort of kind of a stud muffin, an intellectual stud muffin, okay? But Elena is one of the most talented writers that I've really ever been around in my life, and she also has the voice of an angel. She's going to be, if you listen to a book on tape in the next 20 years, I guarantee you that she'll be the voiceover that you're listening to. So, Elena, I would have you come talk on the microphone right now, but that might not be the intention of this day. Ari is a phenomenal cross-country runner and soccer player who I've never had in class, but I know she heard about the potatoes that you guys serve here. And she was a last-second fill-in for Ella Ben-Porath, who's very close to my heart, who was supposed to come today. And I really wanted to talk about Ella, because Ella has been through a lot of tragedy in her life, but she's so strong, and she's so funny, and she's so sincere. But, Ari, you're good too. Then we have Reagan Butler. Reagan was in my roundtable a few years ago. I just wrote a letter of recommendation for her. She lives the passion of dance. She loves dance. It's been in her blood since she was a youngster, and it's just cool to watch her kind of grow and fall in love with her passion and talk about her passion and live her passion. Rachel Rice, to our left here, is probably one of the most immersed and engaged students I've ever had in the classroom. She does not let a day go by without getting the most out of her educational experience, and she also did all of the video work and is kind of a cinematographer at Archbishop Hope. If you watch the Mum Day film, it was produced and directed by Rachel Rice, so she's pretty good behind a camera. So you guys can sit down, but thank you for standing up. I'm not done yet. No, I'm just kidding. We have Brother Spooner back there as well, who to me is the icon of everything that I want to be in my life as far as servant leadership goes. And we have Kelsey Cease, who has done a lot of work behind the scenes at Archbishop Hope. So thank you. Again, if you had to be here, I'm sorry. And if you chose to be here, thank you. We also have a table of Hoban employees right there. If you guys can just raise your hand, because I'll go on forever and I'll never get to my speech. Chris, thanks for making them come today. I hope you guys enjoyed the chicken. I like the breading on the chicken was excellent. At this table here, front and center, or not quite front and center, but just behind the veterans here, would be another table of students that I want to briefly talk about. If you guys could please stand. Again, I don't know why they came for sure or how they were invited, but Andrew Hardman here embodies all that is good about Archbishop Hoban. Not only is he a legacy kid whose mom and dad went to Hoban, but he cherishes every opportunity that he has to get the most out of his experience. He's about a 5'10.5" post player who starts on my basketball team this year. That says a lot about my recruiting ability, by the way. No offense, Andrew. I knew you could find a place at Hoban, okay? And Andrew gets the most of his ability in everything he does. He's the type of young man who could probably go Ivy League if he wishes. He could do anything he wants to do. But he immerses himself in the experience and is a heck of a leader, not only on the court, but in the classroom. I think he's got like a 4.99 GPA, and 4.5 is the highest. Sydney Bartleball here just came for the potatoes. I've never had her in class. But Sydney actually was a heck of a ball player in her day. She grew up at St. Francis de Sales. See, I remember this stuff, Sydney. And she came to my camps a lot. And I always had, she's a really good shooter in the game of basketball, but she also really enjoys the experience of the co-curricular life at Hoban. And it's really neat when somebody, you're not sure if it's going to work out when they choose your school, but when you see them smiling and you see them in the student section and they're jumping up and down and going crazy on the bleachers at Talmadge, even though they might break the bleachers and then we have to pay for them. It's pretty cool. So, Sydney, thank you for being here today. Sawyer Huckabee, he's a guy who basically engineered the entire Mum Day festivities from behind. Sawyer's a leader. He's a leader in every way, shape, and form. Sawyer is pretty much an all-star on the mock trial team, but he's also a national merit semifinalist and could be a national merit finalist. So, if you don't know what that means, he's in the 99th percentile in the nation on his SAT. And I had trouble spelling SAT, Sawyer, when I was your age. So I had Sawyer in my Honors English 10 class and my AP Language and Comp class, and he will not let a day go by without trying to improve who he is as a person. Sophia Stahl over here on the left is somebody who, if I get to it, I'm going to run out of time. I know I am. I really want to tell Sophia's story, but she's going to be Susie Smith in my story, okay? So, Sophia, I just gave it away. I don't know if I'm going to tell your whole story right now, but I wanted to keep you kind of camouflaged. But it might be worth you guys hearing it, because Sophia has overcome so much adversity in her life, but is so positive. And, Sophia, I'm going to skip the story later, but I have to tell you guys this. This was pretty incredible in my life. Sometimes teachers come by and they look at your class list in August when you're a teacher, and they go through the classes and they go, oh, you're going to love this kid. Oh, this kid's really bright. Oh, this kid's kind of a jerk. And then they got to Sophia and they said something about, and I don't want to get into it all, but they said something like, you know, the most negative body language and just, you know, never participates. And I was like, in the back of my brain, I go, challenge. Because I love it when somebody tells me that. I'm like, nah, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be more. So her mom came in for a conference and we were talking, and I asked her mom, I said, hey, do you think Sophia would want to be a basketball manager? And she was like, I don't know. She doesn't know anything about basketball, but you could try. And so Sophia, I asked Sophia, would you want to be a basketball manager? She said, yes. So another theme of my talk was going to be, all you have to say is yes, but I'm totally going to change my talk right now. Because guys, guess what? You know me. You guys know me. This is just the way it rolls. But sometimes all you have to do is say yes, and life changes. Sophia said yes, and we have had this 2.5 to 3 year journey where she went from somebody who wouldn't talk in somebody else's class to somebody who gave the most incredible Henry David Thoreau presentation that I've ever heard. I was crying. Most of us were crying. And it's about the loss of her sister. She lost her sister when her sister was 2 or 3 years old to Prader-Willi syndrome. And it really wrecked her family. But how she came back from that and the courage that she showed to get where she is today, you would cry too, but let's not go there. Let's not go there. That's who Sophia Stahl is. And she's still my manager. She hasn't quit yet. Sophia, please don't quit. I mean, Susie, please don't quit. Guys, Reagan Butler over here. No, I'm sorry. Reagan Craze. Reagan Craze also has been through some tough stuff lately. I don't want to get into that. But Reagan Craze probably, a lot of times you measure a student but not by how well they do in your class, but by how much they grow in your class. And from sophomore to junior year, I've never seen a person want to grow in AP language and comp like Reagan Craze wanted to grow. We have a connection with her uncle who just recently passed away. His name was Duke Bender. If anybody knows Duke Bender, Duke Bender is Reagan's uncle. And we have a special connection there because he was a good friend of mine growing up at Holy Family who unfortunately passed away recently. But I know Reagan's going to do great things. And then finally, Olivia Smith, guys, is Stephen Scott. Olivia Scott, I know who you are, Olivia. Olivia Scott is Stephen Scott's twin, okay? And that right there is a burden, okay? So if you guys know Stephen Scott, he plays basketball for me. He has floppy hair, and I want him to box out more, okay? But Olivia Scott can brighten up a room and brighten up the cheerleading squad. And she's a real leader on the cheerleading squad because they have a lot of young, immature kids right now. They have a lot of sophomores up. Don't you have some sophomores playing up? And I look at that cheerleading squad and I just think to myself, thank God for Olivia Scott, because she is like that anchor. She is that anchor for those girls to look up to. And I hope those girls look to you and say, I want to be like that, because that's what we want our cheerleaders to be like. So these kids kind of represent some of my stories, but I just wanted to introduce them and say hi. I haven't even started yet, guys. So guys, you can sit down, but thank you. I guess, and I'm still not starting. Let me know when my time is up, okay? But there's a poem that I was given. I always want to give people shout outs when they give me stuff, because I actually had never heard of this before. The poem is called The Bee, and I think The Bee really summarizes and kind of embodies. I know the kids are going to be sick of this if they had me in class, because I often will use it in class, but The Bee really embodies the whole spirit of teaching and coaching. So if I do run out of time, I might just start with this, because I think it's who we want to be, and it's why we want to be that way. So in this poem, it's a poem story. It's more of a poem story than just a poem. In this poem, a man is on the side of the expressway, and there's a very dangerous expressway. Imagine I-77 out here, and it's lower level and it doesn't have any barriers. A man is on the side of the expressway with his son, and there's a wooded area that they were picnicking or relaxing in. And let's say the boy's allergic to bees, okay, to make the story a little bit better. But in the poem, a bee comes out of the woods and it starts chasing the son, okay? And the dad knows, holy cow, 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 wow, 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 wow. By the way, can everybody say that? Because I always like to engage the crowd. Can everybody say, holy cow, 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 wow?
Holy cow, cow, cow.
Yeah, and then wow, say, wow, when you say wow, it's kind of like you're a famous trumpeter, you know, like a Louis Armstrong. It's wow, 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 wow. Try that. It's so fun. Holy cow, 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 wow, 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 wow. Yeah, I'll come back to that. So, guys, this boy is in the grass on the side of the expressway, and a bee comes out of nowhere, and the kid's allergic to bees. And the dad's lounging, and the dad sees this, and the kid's starting to run towards the expressway, okay? And the dad knows, you know, I need to act now, because if he goes through the expressway, he's going to get hit by a car, and if the bee gets him, he's allergic to bees, so we're in trouble. So the poem goes like this. It says, one dot, grainily shifting, we at roadside, in the smallest wings coming along the rail fence out of the woods. One dot of all that green. So obviously that dot is the bee, correct? But that dot is more than the bee. That dot is moments in our lives where we can impact people. It's moments in our lives on a timeline. Imagine that dot being on a timeline. That dot is a moment on the timeline that encompasses more than just one little circle. We have those moments in our lives and we never know when that moment might come. But in this poem, the moment is there when the dad sees his son struggling. So this is what the dad says. The dad says, I must live faster for my terrified small son. The bee is on him, has come, clings. And the dad, in order to get the energy to save his son, and by the way, the bee is not just a bee. The bee is all of the adversities and obstacles that we have in our life. It's not just a bee. The bee is a metaphor. The bee is a symbol. We have problems and obstacles in our lives, and we need to have somebody help us typically. And in this case, the dad has to help the son, correct? But in order for the dad to be inspired, he conjures memories of his football coaches. And in fact, this poem was written by a famous football coach named James Dickey. That's one of the other reasons I love this poem. So the dad must think about the coaches who inspired him because he needs to save his son, and he needs to save his son now. So the dad says this. He says, old wingback, come to life. If your knee action is high enough, the fat may fall in time. Gosh darn you, Dickey, James Dickey. Dig, this is your last time to cut and run. You must give everything left. For screaming near your screaming child is the murder of California traffic. Some bee hangs driving. And it goes on. And now the dad is having the memory of his own coach. He says, Coach Shag Norton, tell me as you have never told me before to get the lead out. Scream whatever will get the slow motion of middle age off of me. I cannot make it alone. I need you. And then it goes on to talk about a lot of other things that I don't want to get into. But eventually, the dad kind of dives and tackles his son, basically, and saves him from the bee and protects him from the expressway. And the dad, at the end of the poem, is sitting there reflecting on the experience of what teaching and coaching are all about. And he reflects on the experience of what being there for somebody else is all about. And the dad says these lines. He says, the dad actually thinks about these lines. I don't think he says them. This is probably internal monologue. The dad says, dead coaches live in the air, son. They live in the ear. Like fathers, they urge and urge. They want you better than you are. When needed, they rise and curse. They scream when something must be saved. You can sleep here, son. And I can try to give back what I have earned by keeping us alive and safe from bees. I love that part. I love that part. That's pretty cool. And then at the very end, it says this. It says, son, you can sleep, and I will be here on the bench while the first string takes back over far, far away. And I can say with the silentest tongue, with the man creating bruises of my arms, with a live leaf, a quick dead hand on my shoulder, Coach Norton, I am your boy. I made you proud. I love that poem because it speaks to the reciprocal relationship of impacting lives through teaching and coaching. And I wanted to start with that poem because I think if I don't get there and they raise the timer up, that's pretty much the message of teaching and coaching. I think the message of teaching and coaching is to inspire others to connect and to utilize the lessons that we've been taught to save other people on their journey and kind of form this guardian angel relationship. So now I'll start my speech. Sorry, Tom. Tom's like, I've got a case at 1 o'clock, TK. I need to get out of here. So 45 years ago, this Wednesday, Hovind announced it was closing its doors forever. The money had run dry, enrollment was down, and they just couldn't pay the bills or muster up the will to go on. They nearly gave up. I was 5 years old and clueless that this was even happening. I was probably playing with Lincoln Logs instead of an iPad. If you don't know what Lincoln Logs are, ask your mom or dad tonight. And years later, I would learn that my dad and a couple of his closest friends would help engineer the Save Hovind campaign. They would go to the rally the next day, and together, with the help of many other people, they would raise $400,000 by that weekend. Certainly, my dad didn't give one penny of that, by the way. I want to go on record. That was not his role. My dad then, that summer, started the first ever Hovind Alumni Association. The next summer, the golf outing became a yearly event that raised friends and funds for the school. The phone-a-thon came next. And about a year later at the phone-a-thon, a volunteer contacted a 1960 alum by the name of Phil Maynard on a random phone-a-thon call and asked him for $20. That conversation led to a tour of the school and a lifetime of philanthropy and board leadership for Mr. Maynard, whose daughter Amy I would later marry, and for some unknown reason she has stayed with me since. I thought that was going to be a good one. Thank you guys for laughing. I wasn't sure. I wonder what my life would have been like if Hovind had closed. I sometimes wonder if I would even be alive. Because Hovind has raised me, it's given me life, and it's humbled me. It's molded me, and it's challenged me. It's actually nearly killed me a couple times. I had a really, really mean parent waiting for me on the backside of the school one time. I won't tell that story today. But really, it's mostly saved me time and time again by allowing its goodness, its mission, and its people, and its authenticity to impact and breathe life into my heart and soul. We need places like Hovind in society if we're going to change the world. Because, like it or not, we all face a ton of challenges and obstacles in this life. Many of them, unfortunately, are self-imposed, and some are out of our control. But this topic that they gave me today, the power of teaching, coaching, poetry, and writing, my son said, Dad, that's a lot of powers, speaks to the many ways that we can cope with and channel our daily struggles into positive directions. Teaching and coaching have saved me time and time again when I've come close to getting off the tracks, to giving into selfishness. A few years ago, I asked Dr. Joe Congini to speak to our team. He gave me one of the best messages I've ever heard. He said, every day when we get up, we face what Dr. Congini calls the battle of the soul. Our choice that day is how we want to live and interact. And the beautiful thing is, he said, the scoreboard is always 0-0 that morning. I love that concept because I like the clean slate and I like the battle of the soul. I'm winning this day so far, but if I stop at Swenson's on the way home, I'm going to lose. I was thinking about it, though. Without Hovind, without Catholic schools, so many of us would not win this battle of the soul. Hovind gives me a guardian angel to fight this battle, and it serves as a lighthouse that constantly guides me on this journey. But I haven't always been ready to serve others as a guardian. It took some time, it took some personal reflection, and it still takes daily work. And a few times I've missed this opportunity. It was about December 1st of 2000, and Hovind had an opportunity to play the first game ever in Perry Reese Jr. Arena in Holmes County. Now, Perry Reese is literally probably one of only five African Americans who even live in Holmes County. He was the basketball coach who they tried to run out of town 15 years prior to this event. They literally set him up at a bar, fed him beers, and then had him drive home so that they could arrest him with a DUI. They then tried to fire him. A few people stood up for him, and 15 years later, they started to worship him and revere him as he had led their team to five state tournaments. So in his honor, he was still alive, he was 43 years old, they decided to build a new arena in his honor as the head coach of Berlin Highland. He called me and asked, would Hovind play the first game ever played down there the year after we went 20-0? We had been pretty good the year before. So of course, being a little bit probably cocky and a lot dumb, I said yes. And we decided to go down and open up the first ever game played at Perry Reese Jr. Arena. A really bad idea, by the way. So the game's about to start. Pre-game warm-ups are over. And if you can imagine this crowd, the majority of the crowd would have the traditional Amish beards. and a few had the bonnets and the outfits. The young lady steps to the mic to sing the national anthem after the lineups have been announced. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early lights what... Isn't silence awkward sometimes? That's what happened. She forgot the words to the national anthem. So like a Saturday Night Live skit, and I kid you not, if you looked at that wall, and that wall was a bunch of Amish beards and Amish bonnets, the girl panicked, started crying, and said, Mr. Yoder, Mr. Yoder, and 700 heads literally turned to the left at the exact same time. I am not kidding you. I think everybody in the stands was named Mr. Yoder. And of course, her choir director was named Mr. Yoder. So Mr. Yoder comes down, and he whispers in her ear the rest of the national anthem, the most painful national anthem I've ever heard in my life. So that after that day, I've never coached a basketball game without having the lyrics of the national anthem in my wallet. I have it right here. I'm not going to get out and show you, but it really is in here. It's on a card. This is a new wallet, by the way. Amy makes me get a new wallet like every 6 months because my wallet's gross, she says. And here it is. Here it is. It's right here, the national anthem. So whenever there it is. I can't, right there, national anthem, folks. I missed an opportunity, though. I missed an opportunity that day to be a guardian angel for somebody. And it gave me some pause. It was also a funny story I just wanted to tell you. But it gave me some pause about a prayer. And I guess it made me think to never miss an opportunity to be a guardian angel. And then I started thinking, I said this prayer every night before I went to bed. I don't know if you guys said it when you were young. Maybe it was my generation. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom's God love commits me here. Ever this day be at my side, to light and guard and rule and guide. Catholic schools and people inside the buildings to me, they serve as guardian angels. They're ones that were created by man to serve man with the spiritual intervention of God. I've always believed in this concept of the creation story, this blank slate, this blank canvas that we are given each day to draw on, create, color, and shade, and design it just the way we want our life to be. Whether it's a new day or a new project, a new idea, this beauty of the creation story is that it connects directly with the beauty and spirituality of teaching and coaching in the classroom. Using poetry and writing and scripture, we can explore and we can create things in authentic ways that were never there before. So teaching to me has always been about creating. And it's in the art of creating relationships and new knowledge and skills in the spirit of collaboration that each year we get to create experiences, bonds, teachable moments, relationships, lessons, new methods, connections. And we get to create an openness and a vulnerability in the classroom where kids have this space to be themselves, to take risks, and to be honest and grow. When I think back on the concept of creation, I'm fascinated with the what ifs. Like sometimes I think, what if Hoban wasn't built on that land previously owned by the Sumners? It was a dairy farm. Like what if this was just farmland right now? When Monsignor Dowd acquired that land, a new creation evolved. A school that shaped lives of more than 11,000 graduates. I can't even picture Hoban or Holy Family or St. Edward's University not created. I often wonder who envisioned the school, who had the first idea and then saw it to fruition. It had to be incredible to form something that would guard society like a lighthouse for decades. Catholic schools for many of us have always served as guardians. I've actually attended 16 years of Catholic schools from Holy Family to Hoban and then St. Edward's University. And ironically, I was thinking about this talk. All of my kids have too. My oldest to Notre Dame after Hoban, my next to Duquesne, and my third to DePaul. Now, the tuition dollars kind of hurt a little bit. But that Catholic education, it's become our identity. It's become our home. It's become our life, no matter which institution we are at. I go back to Holy Family. And when I go back to Holy Family, I want you to go back to your grade school. There's sights and smells in the grade schools and there's memories and images that you never get back, but they're a part of you. They're an imprint. They're part of your fiber. For me, it was football and kickball games at recess. Legendary teachers using the chalkboard or knocking the chalk Remember the erasers against the wall after school? That era is gone. Crossing guards, impactful coaches, CYO football championship games at the Rubber Bowl, Tom Goodall and Tim Griffith teaching us the in their jocks defensive basketball mentality. Hot dog days. Remember hot dog days? Now we can get a hot dog every day. It's just not right. Chocolate milk, altar boys, basement of the church, First Friday Mass, dances with the DJ known as the Pearl. Did anybody else go to a dance with the Pearl? Guys, the Pearl was the coolest thing in the area. Altieri's Pizza. See, Holy Family was at the center of everything for me. It was this beacon of hope. They were kind enough to give me a Distinguished Alumnus Award a few years ago, and it was kind of cool to feel special for a moment and go back and receive that. But just like a win on the basketball court or an A in the class, those ceremonies fade away quickly when you get back to Hoban and Thomas Crow says, "What did you do to get that award?" I was like, Tom, that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. You're right. I don't know. I went to Holy Family, I guess. But you know, the one thing about Holy Family and Hoban that I always kind of go back to is that feeling of being loved. It's a gift that they gave me from the first steps in that building. Actually, not the first steps. I remember my first day at Holy Family when they dropped me off. My mom, I don't know why they didn't walk me in. It might say something about my upbringing. You know, do you let a little kindergartner off and just say, "Yeah, you're over there, just go that way"? But anyways, when I walked in those doors from Route 59, that hallway seemed like it was 10 miles long. So I'm walking down that hallway, and you guys know that fight or flight instinct? I often have trouble with that. I want to run away a lot. Even when you're giving a talk like this, sometimes you're like, "Oh my God." But I took about 10 steps, and I turned around and headed for Wetmore Park as fast as I could run. And all of a sudden, like this long go-go gadget arm, Mrs. Pat Given just grabbed the back of my collar. If anybody had Mrs. Givens over at Holy Family, she grabbed me, she led me back to that kindergarten room, and my journey at Holy Family began. And that's one of the key messages I learned from people at Hoban and Holy Family. We need people to pull us back in when we want to run away from our destiny or our truth, or especially our responsibilities. To me, that's true teaching. And I've often felt like that was part of my mission at Hoban, to not allow kids to quit or run away from tough situations. In fact, we actually try hard to not let our players quit, to make them see it through the season, even when it's not going their way. I've personally been blessed with people in my life who have done that for me. My wife, Amy, is pretty much that instrument for me. We've basically kind of had to raise each other because we met when we were 15, but we couldn't be any more different. You guys know the Myers-Briggs personality test? I'm an ENFP. Every letter Amy has different than me. That's hard to do. Every letter. We totally flipped each other, guys. There was when we were growing up, you used to have a song. Do couples have songs anymore, kids? They do? Okay. We used to have a song. Our song was "Never Tear Us Apart" by NXS. But the first line really, really struck me when I was thinking about this. Two worlds collided. That's the truth. Two worlds collided. But Amy has always been that person to pull me back in. She's been that Mrs. Given to me many times. So have my children, to be honest with you. But the people at Holy Family, they had that gift. And it's the people at any school that preach those core values. At Hoban, it's the Holy Cross Brothers who articulated in our chapel. And it's that journey through Holy Family that helps us understand the power of the Catholic schools. If anybody was at Holy Family Parish, you might remember some of these names. I'm going to trim this down a little bit. But Mrs. Given was incredible. And the way she arranged her room in kindergarten, and the way she had this religious book series that had a purple dinosaur in it. And I always go back, I'm thinking to myself, did somebody steal her Barney idea? You know, I think they stole her Barney. I'm pretty sure Mrs. Givens came up with Barney. But anyways, then there was Mrs. Arth in second grade, Mrs. Russo in third grade. Do you guys remember Gobstoppers? Yeah. Who came up with a candy for kids that you can't chew and just would get stuck in your throat? It doesn't make sense. So in third grade, Billy Wendell right next to me has about three Gobstoppers stuck in his throat. And Mrs. Russo, honest to God, there was no universal sign for choking back then, folks. You just choked. And I think he was almost done. She grabs this kid out of nowhere by the feet, hangs him upside down and shook him. To nobody's business and saved his life, knocking him on the back. I don't know if she was German or not, but maybe she invented the Heimlich. In fourth grade, it was the beautiful Mrs. Schaefer, who was actually married to the principal, fought cancer and passed away in our time there. In fifth grade, it was Mrs. Faith Cook, who ran for office in Stowe and was a great history teacher. Mrs. Livergood had this this hair that went straight back. It was like a, I called it a bouffant, but I don't think it's a word. I just called it a bouffant. But Mrs. Nugent in the next grade, the Diet Cokes, or the Cokes, it might be full throttle Coke she drank. The Jaegers, Miss Jaeger and Mrs. Jaeger. Mrs. St. John, Mrs. Terzola. These are people who shepherded us. They impacted us. You know, they steered us and guided us through the tough stuff. And I have so many more I'm going to miss, but it's time to get a little bit closer towards the end. So, a lot of people served as guardian angels. And when I kind of dwell on this, I like that footprints poem that I'm not going to read to you, but you know the concept of the footprints poem is when four footprints became two, we thought he left us, but actually he was there with us all the time. And these people who I have mentioned, they kind of serve as our examples because it takes a village to raise a child. And I've always felt that that poem kind of embodies when four footprints become two, when God leaves us and he carries us, these people, they carry us. So I've always tried to pay that forward. And with divine intervention from God, I've been able to do that at Archbishop Hoban. I'm going to skip ahead to what allowed me to do that at Hoban. Because early on in my teaching, I got on my own way. And I would like to discuss that before I wrap up. How am I doing on time, by the way? I'm close? Thank you. So guys, towards about 20 years ago, and I think when people start teaching, if they're not able to blossom in this fashion, I feel like there's a lot of pride and fear. I feel like there's a lot of insecurity, and you're not listening to understand. These are the killers of teachers. This is the disease that stifles teaching. And a couple events occurred that really changed me. One was simply the prayer. The prayer that we do every day after first period. I was running to the bathroom 20 years ago, and I heard the prayer, and I couldn't hear the whole thing. And I was like, man, that sounded really good. And I don't know that scripture that well. So I went to the campus minister, who at the time, I think it was Scott Kopp, and I said, can I get a copy of that scripture? And it said, he said, sure, no problem. And it's a very simple line. It says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And I really thought about what it meant to fall into the ground and die. It kind of meant to totally surrender all the stuff that gets in our way. It kind of meant to totally commit. It kind of meant to just go all chips in and dive into the deep end. To just be present, to open up safe spaces for kids, to do things like the Thoreau Project that I already talked about, and to allow my presence to just do its own work. Once I got there, a lot of things started happening. Kids who had never spoken up before, like our Susie Smiths, like our Adam Nesters, they spoke up. People who had never considered going to St. Edward's University, like Chris Yeager and Jason Horinger, they followed in my footsteps and went from Hoban to St. Edward's University. And I'm proud to say I've had like 27 kids from Hoban go down to Austin, Texas now and go to St. Edward's University. Jack Schrell being one back there. I see you smiling, Vicky. Sorry, I forgot about that one. There's so many names that I lost track. To see Avery Babel go from our manager on the Hoban basketball team to Team USA and the Milwaukee Bucks. He works for the Milwaukee Bucks right now. To see Nick Casto get cut three times at Hoban, finally make it a senior year, and have 28 points in the Walsh game. This is a kid who never made the team for 3 years in a row. To see Isaiah Young want to leave Hoban 2 years ago and go to Woodridge because he wasn't starting, and now he's the sixth man in Heidelberg, and he averaged 20 points a year last year and led us to an 18-6 record. Through divine providence, God puts these guardian angels in our lives and put them in my life at Hoban. And in each situation, the reciprocal relationship. I learned, we learned, as much from them as they did from us. They inspired us as much as we inspired them. There's two more poems I wanted to share, but I'm not going to do it because he gave me the 5-minute mark. So I'm going to go to the very end, and I'm going to wrap up with the last poem. This poem is by Longfellow, and there's something about Hoban that reminds me of The Lighthouse by Longfellow. If anybody's familiar of the poem, The Lighthouse, it's long, number one, so you may not want to go there. But The Lighthouse, to me, serves as a metaphor for what Hoban has been in my life, and also what Hoban, I think, has done for others in the greater Akron community. So this one is about its permanence. This stanza says, steadfast, serene, immovable, the same year after year, through all that silent night, burns on forevermore, that quenchless flame, shines on that inextinguishable light. And when it says shines on that inextinguishable light, I think about great places in society like a Hoban, like a Holy Family, like a St. Edward's University. I see St. V's back there, like a St. Vincent St. Mary, and like a Walsh. These are very important places. They're traditions. They're legacies. At the very end of this poem, this is cool, and I'll wrap up with this, folks. Because the lighthouse is protecting the sailors, it kind of speaks to the sailors in the last stanza. And the lighthouse says, it says, sail on, ye stately ships, and with your floating bridge, and with your floating, bridge the ocean span. Be mine to guard this light from all eclipse. Be yours to bring man nearer unto man. And I feel like when graduates at Hoban walk across the stage at Akron Civic Theater, I feel like that's what we say to them. I feel like we say to them, hey, we'll stay back here and we'll keep the light burning in this lighthouse and we'll keep doing what we're doing. But now it's your job to go out there and bring man nearer unto man with your work in society. So I believe that the power of teaching and coaching and the power of guardian angels has impacted my life greatly. And it's been a joy and a pleasure to speak with you guys today. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I better go down this way.
You get to take a break and have a seat for a little while.
Thank you again, TK, for that very engaging presentation. Please write down your questions and then hold them up in the air so that some of our board members may come around and pick them up. So if you have a question, please write that down, hold it up. Our next First Friday luncheon will be here on Friday, December 3rd, with a presentation by His Excellency Milan Locke, S.J., Bishop of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. If you are listening to the podcast on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations by sending a check for $20 to the First Friday Club, 795 Russell Avenue, Akron, 44307. Or you can call our phone number, 330-535-7668 each month, or our online website at Eventbrite. If you want to make a reservation for a particular week, please make sure that you have made your reservation at least a week ahead of time. The speaker schedule for next year is in place now, and we have a variety of interesting, engaging speakers, including Bishop Malesic, Cleveland Indians Vice President Bobby DiBiasio, and John Allen, who many of you people follow, will be back next December, as well as many other fascinating speakers. We will have one change in our program because one of our speakers was Tom Arth from the University of Akron. So you folks that are following that know he won't be in the area anymore, I'm assuming, unfortunately. You can hear a podcast of this speech and all others by logging into our website. If you aren't on our mailing list and our email list, please take time to just write that down on a card and give that to me or one of the board members. We'd like some recognitions. I'd like people who are first-time attendees to please either stand or wave if this is your first time at the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. This month, we usually have students from all of our Catholic high schools, but this month, Walsh has a teacher day, and so does Our Lady of the Elms. But we are fortunate to have students here from Archbishop Hoban and St. Vincent St. Mary's. Give a wave, students. I'd also like to recognize our First Friday Club board members and our office manager, Carol Scalf. Please wave your hands up, too. Now we're going to, do we have some questions? Did we get any? Yes, I did, Bill. No questions. TK has answered everything. TK, I'd like you to come back up for a special presentation. During the past year, we are sad to say that we lost two of our greatest supporters, Les Radwany, and then our primary supporter, Phil Maynard, who is a founding member of the First Friday Club board and one of our greatest cheerleaders and supporters. So we just want to remember them in a special way for all of the effort that they put forth, but especially Phil, who was always there for us through every year, no matter how things happened. And he was on the board for many, many years, but he was one of the founding members of the First Friday Club board. So we have a small memento that we would like to present to you for the family to keep in with whatever member of the family would like it, but just in his memory for all of the wonderful service that he gave and the strong support he gave. He always had a table or two that he paid for, and he also, you know, donated, you know, was a regular donator to the, as one of our sponsors and supporters. So, again, we pray for his memory and ask that you will say a special prayer to remember him.
Thank you.
Again, it's now my pleasure to introduce St. Vincent St. Mary student Gabriel Delgado, who will offer our closing prayer.
First of all, thank you, Coach Griffith, for your words today. You've truly inspired us to be better on and off the field or court. For the clothing prayer, I'd like to share to you the prayer that St. Vincent St. Mary, family, as well as all Marists around the world, pray every day at 3 o'clock. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we gather in the Spirit at the foot of the cross, with your mother and the disciple whom you loved. We ask for your pardon for our sins, which are the cause of your death. We thank you for remembering us in our salvation, and for giving us Mary as our mother. Holy Virgin, take us under your protection and open us to the action of the Holy Spirit. St. John, obtain for us the grace of taking Mary into our lives as you did, and assisting her in her mission. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Gabriel. You noticed on the table we do have our program brochure for next year, so please take one of those, and so you can see what's going on for next year. Terry's over there showing it off to everybody. So, let's remember to take a look at that. And if you are on our list, you will be receiving that brochure along with ticket subscription series for next year. And we will be here again. Again, I forgot to mention, let's express our thanks also to the Tangier Catering staff for the wonderful lunch they had today. And we will continue to be meeting here. If something should come up that we have a larger group, we may have to change location, but I believe they handle about 300 people here, so we probably should be good for the future. Again, thank you, everybody, for coming, and we hope we'll see some of you back here on December 3rd.